Hey, Ohana, welcome to this week's episode of the Married to a Disney Addict podcast. We are your hosts, Crystal,
And Matt.
and this is show number 27. On today's episode, we're going to take a little bit of a step back from focusing on a specific topic in favor of chatting a little bit about some recent announcements and teases Disney has shared.
So we don't do this too often, but we have always said that we want this podcast to be more of a conversation on the things that we just enjoy talking about. And so when Disney announces something, especially like these bigger hints of things to come in the parks, it's kind of what always dominates the conversation that me and Crystal have, whether it's in the car or over dinner. We're always kind of breaking these down. So we figured, why not invite some of our friends from the Ohana to join us on an episode and chat about some of these new things. And we'd love to hear from everyone who's out there listening. If you want to head over to our socials and tell us what you think about some of this news that Disney has been dropping on us, we'd love to hear that too. But like I said, we can't do this alone. We always like to have some of our friends and Ohana to join us. And we have two members with us today. We have our good friend and longtime member of the Ohana, Johanna, coming back onto the show with us. So we want to say hi, Johanna.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here and happy to talk Disney.
Yes, we're very excited. We appreciate you coming on and being such a great part of not just here on the show, but also over on our socials. You're always trying to get the conversations going and stuff, and we appreciate that.
I'm a talker.
And joining us as well, our favorite travel agent, Sue Passauer.
Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing today?
I feel like we need to get like, you know how whenever they like, I know you don't watch wrestling, but when a wrestler enters into the arena, they have like walk-in music. I feel like we need walk-in music for Sue sometimes.
I would know that as
Oh,
like
that's cool.
when a batter comes up to bat, like, and they
They
like,
play that walk-up music. That's what we need for Sue because
Oh,
she's.
that's it. I'm gonna come up with a walk-up song.
I love it. I love it. We should have a
I'm
whole
gonna
bar.
come in. I'm gonna come up with a walk-up song for
There
me.
you go.
That's a great idea.
A talk
Talk
up
up. I like
song.
it. We
Yes.
should do that. We
We
should
should
have
patent
we
it.
have some members that are definitely more part of the show that want to come on.
Exactly.
Johanna, you're one of them. We should have all of them. Like, what's a Disney walk-up song
Oh
or
my
talk-up
God.
song? And we'll do a little snippet before we announce who the person is.
You know what mine would be? Do you know what mine would be?
No.
You hate my favorite.
Figment?
You hate my song that I would pick.
The Zootopia one? I
Oh,
hate that song so much.
oh,
I hate that
oh,
song so much. I don't know why.
oh.
I can't give you a good reason as to why I hate that song, but I do. I don't like it.
Whenever it comes on my Disney playlist, he like instantly it's
Skip
like,
it.
skip it,
I
skip it.
can't.
I'm like, it's so
And
good.
it's Shakira too, right? It's like
Yeah,
an
it's a
actual,
good song.
I don't know. I can't do it. But I like that idea. We'll have to talk about that, you know, off air and get some talk up
That sounds like a good
songs
plan.
for
I like that
everybody.
one. I like that one.
So, like we said, we usually do pick like a specific topic to talk about on the shows, but today we're going to do a little bit different. It's just us chatting about some of the big announcements that Disney has made about our favorite place or places, because it really is this company-wide investment, which we'll talk about, where they are trying to build up, and maybe we'll chat a little bit about why we think that's happening in a few minutes. But we do want to start with the bad news, because if you've been listening to the podcast for the past couple episodes, Crystal and I have been anxiously awaiting a trip to Disneyland, and we had it planned with Sue. We were going to go to Disneyland. We were going to go to the D23 Expo, because it was in the summertime in August and not during the school year. And we were very excited to do it. But unfortunately,
Womp, womp, womp.
we did not get tickets to D23 Expo. We attempted,
Not for a lack of trying.
yeah, we attempted every day. We were the gold members, the Visa members, the regular one. And it was absolute chaos, I would say, on the whole ticketing front of how they were going about doing this. You had to log in, they randomly assigned you a number, and if they had tickets by the time your number was called, you could go in. So the first day we both hop on, and I'm like number like 40,000, and I'm like 40,000, like how can you do that? How can you, like, why are you letting 40,000 people into the queue in the first place, let alone thinking that the person that is 40,000 is going to get a ticket? But that's what they did. And I know there were, the first day there was tons of problems. Like, it wasn't working at first. It took, we were on for how long? About 4 hours, 3 hours.
At least
three hours. I think it was like 4.5 hours.
Yeah. It started at three.
But for that first hour.
And I think we logged out at like 6:30.
That first hour and a half.
And you had the little walking man.
I hate
that. You had the little walking man.
He did more steps than a day in Epcot.
Yeah, I should have put my Fitbit on him and got all my walk steps in for the year. But it was just crazy. It wasn't, there was a lot of technical glitches, and then there was just so many people. So that first day, they just had the limited number, and apparently 40,000 was not that limited number. And then the next day, they were like, oh yeah, so now if you're a D23 member and any Visa card holder, not even just the Disney Visa card, any Visa card holder, you could go on. So we log on again. And the second day, I'm again number like 31,000. Crystal got, what number did you were like 17,000?
13,000. 13,000 on one device and 14,000 on another device.
So we're like, okay, like 13,000, we can do it. We can do it. And we're watching the little walking man going and going and going. She's getting closer. And then Disney starts with the updates about, oh, there's no more 3-day packages available. We're like, well, that stinks because that's what we wanted to get. And well, let me correct myself. There's none of the reasonably priced 3-day ticket packages left, because there was the good one for like $300 where you can go all 3 days. So that's what we hoped for. Couldn't get it. That sold out. Then it was like, oh, the single day Friday ticket is sold out. The single day Saturday ticket is sold out. So by the time Crystal actually got in, all we could do was buy a Sunday ticket, but there was like no seats next to each other. So we're like, well, we're not going to go to the expo and just sit on opposite sides of the arena. Or if you had, you know, if I won the lottery the night before, I could have done it. But they did have some packages left, but they were like $1,500 to $2,500 for these tickets. So we're like, well, I guess we can't go to D23 this year. I know, Sue, you were in this, you were right there with us. I know Crystal like had you on the phone, and we're like, okay, 20 more minutes, maybe we're going to do it. And then nothing, there's nothing available.
It had to be, for most people that tried, and a lot, the most demoralizing process. You know, I tell somebody, I said, this is sometimes what you feel like with the travel agent. I said, we had it happen. I said, it frequently happens with Disneyland with Oogie Boogie tickets. Mm. It's because, you know, Disney World, we can go in, we have access to the tickets for Christmas party and Halloween party, and we can just log into our travel agency system and buy them. But Disneyland for Oogie Boogie doesn't have that same technology. So when we're helping or trying to assist our clients with that, we're doing it from the consumer side. And it's demoralizing, because you have somebody that so bad wants to go to Oogie Boogie, and right, you're watching the whole day as it comes up. And I think the last time I was logged in for 9.5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And as I'm watching it, I'm saying, oh yeah, that day sold out now. Yeah. And that day sold out now. And that day sold out now, until finally it just comes up and says, there are no more tickets for Oogie Boogie.
That's so
crazy. Wow.
And, I mean, that just goes to show you how popular Disney is, right? Because leading up to the ticket fiasco of trying to get to D23, we talked to many people, and they're like, oh yeah, I've never had problems getting tickets. Like, I just go online and buy them. This whole queue thing was never really like used or that big of an issue. And we're like, okay, great. Like, we can get in. And we were willing to, like, when the 3-day package sold out, we were bummed, but we're like, okay, we can pick one or two of the single day tickets. We'll still enjoy the convention. We'll go over and see some of the announcements. But I mean, you were what, 13,000? And the day before I was 40. So I'm like, oh, we got a good shot, and nothing.
I waited at my school until 6:30.
Yeah. She was afraid to let go, because she was at school at 3. She was afraid to drop the Wi-Fi and lose her spot. So she sat at school for 3 extra hours hoping to get the tickets, and we didn't get the tickets.
And then I was like, afraid to like step away from the computer, because like it would like the man would like move and jump. And I'd be like, okay, well, if I go to the front of my office to go do something, like I might miss it. And no. So I like literally just sat there for 3 hours staring at a little man.
Well, you know, I guess somebody
has a good idea, which I do, is they make some merch with that little man. For all the people that could not get tickets, you make that little walking man some merch.
About a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
So I guess the pressure is going to fall to me to mm-hmm. give you all the scoop from D23.
Yes.
I will be at D23. So I'll actually be working at D23 with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, and we have a combined booth there with one of our partners. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. It's an exciting time. I was there a couple of years ago. It's just a lot of fun. So much. I mean, just so much Disney, but watching the announcements when they come out, you know, when they have the entertainment panel and all that, I mean, it's true Disney fans. I mean, everybody that's in there is just excited. And I'm so sorry, y'all. I know how desperately y'all tried. And I'm so sorry that it didn't work out. But I guess leads us to today's conversation, because, right. I mean, let's talk about all the excitement that's come out in the last couple of days.
Right. So, you know, we'll end our little therapy session here saying congratulations to everybody who did get tickets. We hope you have a great time and you are kind and share everything with us. And for those of you who were unable to, we feel your pain. We're right there with you. And maybe in 2 years, we'll have a better shot.
Or come join us when we go to Disney World.
We did do that. As soon as we couldn't get the D23 Expo tickets, our plans changed. We are not going to Disneyland. Yeah, pivot. And we're going to be going back to Walt Disney World. So I know Crystal's whole FOMO thing, fear of missing out for the year.
But it's actually now worse, because now I'm like having FOMO about Disneyland. I was looking forward to hanging with Sue and meeting Lou and meeting Becky and I mean, now Walt Disney World feels like a consolation prize. Womp, womp, womp.
Consolation prize. Sorry, I'm going to Disney World.
World Segment is very upset with you, Crystal.
All right, but like Sue
said, okay. That's okay.
We do get to chat about some of the good things, the exciting things, or I'll say hopefully good things, that Disney has announced over the past couple days and weeks, because they dropped a lot on us. And I know we're super excited about a lot of it. We can really start anywhere. I will say that I want to save the big one for the end, because and I know Johanna's super excited about it. When we talked about what should we do the episode on, she was the first one to be like, yeah, I want to do it. So we're going to save that.
What's the big one? The end.
What's beyond Thunder Mountain?
Oh, got you.
So we'll chat about
the ideas.
So yeah, and well, Crystal had a cool little new segment idea, which we'll talk about towards the end. But let's jump into some of the things that they have announced. Like I said, some of them they've been hinting at for a while, but they're dropping new information. I'm going to start with one of the bigger ones in Magic Kingdom. It is not beyond Thunder Mountain, but it's right next to Thunder Mountain.
Before the Beyond.
And that's Tiana's Adventure, which is taking over, you know, Splash Mountain. We've talked about it a little bit here and there on the pod. I know everybody else that has a podcast, that has a Disney forum of some sort, has been chatting. Some like it, some don't. But regardless, it is here. It is on. It's going to be opening soon, because, right, originally it wasn't supposed to open until next year. Or the end.
No,
of
it was actually year. It was always slated for this year, but there was
the end.
Yeah, but you know, we saw on there they're doing test runs. I mean, people are on the ride, so sometimes there's a lot of fine tuning that has to go through, because they're test riding it and they're looking at every element to make sure that it's working perfectly. Right. But there are people on the ride. So that tells you they're moving along at a really good clip.
I think originally it was like by the end of 2024, before it'll be open, but I think they moved it to spring,
like,
right?
Yeah, I think it was like the end of summer.
Right.
And now it's like kind of sounding like it's going to be.
I think it's going to be early. I think it's going to be early summer.
Yeah, it says summer 2024 on the website, so it doesn't give anything specific.
Right.
Yeah, but I think you're going to see it early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're going to see it early summer. I mean, that's just my guess. Nothing written.
Are we thinking maybe like for the Memorial Day crowds?
You know, they're not going to, they'll announce a formal opening, but we all know that before that formal opening date, they're probably going to have some soft openings to it. It's going to be, it'll be interesting. I would not surprise, unless they have some type of major hiccup, I would not be surprised to see it open sometime in early June.
Yeah.
You know, I think they want to get it open for the summer crowds.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd go as far as May, but
that'd be early.
Right.
You never know with them.
Yeah.
But they would
maybe the previews could start in May the official opening in June, May, you know.
Had to have already announced the cast member previews.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. I will say I don't really care.
I know you do not like this ride. You're a little girl about this one.
I didn't like Splash Mountain for the drop part. I just don't like the drop.
They don't have a lap bar.
Yeah, I don't want to fall out of it. I know I won't.
He doesn't understand the rules of gravity. Listen,
I understand that no one falls out of it. I just don't like it. So I never was a big fan of Splash Mountain, the ride itself.
I liked the ride. I just think it needed
updating.
Yeah, because like I got stuck on it for 45 minutes.
Right.
It took me 45 minutes. We didn't really get stuck. It just took us 45 minutes because of it was slow and everything. So I didn't like it for that reason. And I knew that it needed some help. I didn't really want a retheming though, but.
Yeah, I really don't care. I don't care one way or the other if it stayed or if it was rethemed. Cool. I kind of like that it's something new that people get to experience. The one thing I will say that I do like, and we actually just watched it. I think it's over on YouTube. Disney put out like this quick rundown of some of the new things they're doing. And they spent a lot of time sharing information on the new animatronics that they have on this ride. So, you know, of course, they have Tiana. And the big one is probably Luis, the alligator, which I never really saw the movie. I saw bits and pieces of it. I did learn that the guy who voices Luis on the movie, his last name is Wooly, like us. But he spells it with one L instead of two L. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But the animatronics seem really cool. They're not pneumatic like a lot of the original types of animatronics. They're more electrical motor, which they said gives them like this more free-flowing movement. Mm-hmm. They can make them dance and do a lot more stuff, which looks really cool. My only hope is that they don't break down, because we have two other very cool animatronics in the Disney parks that tend to break down a lot, and they have to go into B mode. So if you know what I'm talking about, right? Kylo Ren over on Rise of the Resistance, and then the on the river, the Navi River ride, the shaman person at the end sometimes breaks down. So I'm really hoping that Sue, like you said, this fine tuning that's taking place is trying to make sure that those animatronics don't break down.
And, you know, and it's really cute because not only with the animatronics, they came out with all these kind of new little animal characters that they're introducing.
And, so you know, cute.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, one or two. I mean, I think I saw a list of them. It's like 10 different animal characters. And, you know, I think they put a lot of work into a whole restructuring of this ride. You know, there was some people that just like the traditional old Splash Mountain, and there was a lot of feedback on it. But, you know, someone posted a picture the other day, and the outside of it looks beautiful. All of the greenery that they brought in, it's such a different look. And I'm excited to see it. I think Disney really thought this through. They've been working on it for a long time. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the change. But I guess that's because I'm a Louisiana girl, too. So it's bringing a little bit of Louisiana into the Magic Kingdom.
I've said this before. As long as I get beignets, I'll go over to
yes,
the side.
I was just going to say that. I want my beignets.
Yep.
You know, I wonder if there's a place around there that's going to
sell them.
Serve them. Where could they put it?
I heard that they said there will be a spot where you can get some Tiana inspired food. Because I know there's like that, they just put up like the new mural sign that says Tiana's Foods. It would be crazy for them not to sell something.
Well, since that's the basis of the whole ride, is her opening her business and thriving. So it would not make sense not to have a food option somewhere in that area. And, you know, there was so much backspace. If you remember when you came off Splash Mountain, there were the restroom area in that back there. But and then there was a meet and greet area where you could meet the characters. There's so much space back there that there probably really is. I can't remember of a food outlet being there, but there's sure enough place to put in someplace where they can do beignets.
Yeah. And I love how you brought up that little animal characters, because I think that is a partial nod to Splash Mountain, right? Because the characters that inhabited Splash Mountain were all animal characters. So I feel like Disney was like, we need to honor the legacy, the heritage that is there of what was there. Because, you know, I would love to be a fly on the wall in some of those early Imagineering discussions going on when they were like, okay, this is happening. And then them hearing somewhat of the backlash of people who are like, you can't get rid of this ride. Like, I would love to know if those animal creatures were always part of the plan, or if it was something that they were like, well, this is a way we could give nods to the original attraction and kind of keep people on board with it. And I mean, either way, it's a great addition, I think, to the ride.
Did you see the list of names of them?
No, yeah.
There's like, I must say this, probably kill the name. There's Balya the Beaver, who apparently builds musical instruments. Gritty the Rabbit, who digs a little deeper. Bo the Possum, Apollo the Raccoon, Rufus the Turtle, Timoleon the Otter, Octavia the Bobcat, Pawpaw the Bobcat, Claude the Louisiana Black Bear, Bernadette the Louisiana Black Bear, Sebastian the Louisiana Black Bear, and Thinia the Gray Fox. I mean, they didn't just had one, they had like 10.
And those animals that you're talking about, while they are in that habitat of the Louisiana Bayou, they fit in with the animals they had on Splash Mountain, right? They had the bears and the rabbits and the foxes. They kept it like, I think that's a total nod to what was originally there, and to try to keep it somewhat people okay with it. I'm not getting into that debate, but it's coming. It's going to be open. I'm excited to get beignets if they serve them. I know Crystal's excited to go on the ride.
I'm convincing Lincoln. We're going to do it.
He went on Tower of... But see, you won't go on Tower of... Oh, because it's the whole, I don't know how many drops I'm going to get. I got you.
Yeah, you know this. You're getting one drop.
Yeah, you're getting one and that's it.
But, and it's at the end.
And it's at the end.
And
you're going to get wet.
And you're going to get wet. I love doing that. I'll wait for them to come down. Like, you know, I have to be on the bridge, try to get the picture or whatever. And then the last time we went, she came off and she was soaking wet. I was like, ha ha.
Literally, at one of the rides, I was the only person on the ride to get wet.
Yeah, like dripped on you. Like,
like it just like wherever I was, it was just. And my friend who was sitting next to me was like dry as a bone, like so dry. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like dripping, like little beads running down my face. I'm like, how am I soaking wet and you're dry and you sat next to me?
It's precisely why I have never been on Splash Mountain. I don't want to walk around soggy all day. I've never been on Splash Mountain.
It's nice in
August. I have a tendency to do it. Yeah, I have a tendency to do it in the middle of the day when it's really, really hot, because in no offense, you dry so quick, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if you just do it in the middle of the day, Johanna.
As I'm leaving.
There you go. A lot of people do that. So Tiana's, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And I think we have a good little transition there because we're talking about animals. So let's hop over to Animal Kingdom, because we are getting lots of, I'll say teases, but some more clarification, I think, on what is coming. Because if anybody was at or watched Destination D23 last year, this is when they started to tease what was coming to Animal Kingdom, specifically in Dinoland. And we've been talking for a very long time about Dinoland needing an update. And sometimes people are like, oh, it doesn't really fit it, like the whole carnival thing. Okay. Again, we're not getting into that debate because we're moving on from it. But they at D23, they started teasing everybody by like playing certain music when they were talking about what's coming to Dinoland. And everybody instantly, the first one we heard was one of my all-time favorite movies, Indiana Jones. And as soon as they started playing that, I was like, oh, please let this be true. Because we know sometimes they mention stuff and it's like that blue sky, like maybe this is going to happen. And when they played that, I just went, please, please do this. Because I've heard over in Disneyland, they have an awesome Indiana Jones attraction, which we don't get to do over here in Disney World.
We get to ride the ride. We just don't get to see the same sights because it is a duplicate ride. It's just not themed the same.
Which, and I like the theme.
It's very cool. It's so, the Indiana Jones in Disneyland, even the entrance walking, it's a really cool ride.
So I'm hoping that we get something cool like that over here, but they essentially have now gone past this whole, maybe this is coming. And Disney's essentially been saying, yeah, this new re-theming of that area, which is going to be based on, I guess, tropical Americas is what they're kind of referring to it. Is going to include things like Indiana Jones, Encanto, Coco, stuff that you get from that region of the world. And it's going to be essentially reshaping all of Dinoland. Now, I don't know if that means they're getting rid of Dinosaur and they're just going to re-theme it to Indiana Jones, because I don't mind that ride. I've always kind of enjoyed the ride. I like the dinosaurs. Lincoln loves dinosaurs. So I hope they keep some aspect of dinosaurs in some part, but I don't know if they're going to take over that whole area. If they're going to be putting in all of these new properties, they either have to have a little bit more land or they're going to have to play with that limited space in a very constructive way.
Yeah, well, I can't see them keeping Dino Land. I can't dinosaur the ride because it would be so out of contrast. And, you know, to do what they're talking about in that area, you know, they're going to have to take the children's play area. I mean, there's a lot of space there
over there. Yeah.
You know, and it would make perfect sense to take Dinosaur the Ride, retheme it, because we know it's the same exact track. You know, it's not having to redo it, and they just have to retheme the entire thing. So, it kind of makes perfect sense to, you know, what direction they probably will go in because of what's there.
I know Crystal was saying before we started recording, she doesn't want the Boneyard to go away, the playground area. And a lot of people have talked about how they like that most of the parks do have some sort of playground area. But I could see a retheme, because remember, Indy is an archaeologist.
Right. Yeah.
He does dig sites. There could be a dinosaur fossil as he's just, you know, he's digging something up. But it could just switch over to seeing like, okay, here's some like ancient Mesoamerican culture that he's excavating in that region.
They could hide things from Coco and as like a transition.
Right. I had wanted Zootopia since Zootopia came out. Mm. And I'm not going to mince words. I'm disappointed that we don't have an entire Zootopia of any movie. I think that Zootopia fits perfectly. The message of Zootopia fits perfectly in Animal Kingdom. And they're just retheming. Is it? It's A Bug's Life?
Right. Which I'll be sad to see, like, that be replaced. Like, I'm not always for the replacement, but more, like you said, the addition.
Right.
But it is a thing that we don't end up going on every single time. We've started to skip it ourselves. Yeah. You're not a big Zootopia fan.
Well, yeah. So as long as I don't play the song, it's fine. But I think to your point, Johanna, it does make sense, right? To have Zootopia in, it's not a zoo, right? We know Animal Kingdom is not a zoo, but what essentially is the zoo-like park of Disney World. I'm wondering if there's a couple things going into that. One, they did recently open the Zootopia land overseas. I forget if it was Shanghai or Hong Kong. One of those other places has a Zootopia land.
It's Hong Kong's got that has Hong a new Kong. Frozen land.
So I think is it Shanghai that has Zootopia?
Yeah, I'm 99% sure it's Shanghai.
But I also think, Johanna, that it's a property that might need more room than what they have over there. Because when I agree, I think Zootopia would be great, but Zootopia, if like, I remember the one thing I remember is all the different lands in Zootopia, right? They have like the frozen tundra and the jungle, and they have all this different stuff. And I feel like if they're going to do it, they need more space. They need to be able to bring all of that idea into Animal Kingdom. And who knows?
Instead of just like squeezing it in, I feel like if they squeeze it in, it wouldn't be done right.
Right. And there might also be some logistical things. I don't want to say money, right? It comes down to money. They're gonna invest a lot of money into the parks, but if they can do a retheme of the dinosaur ride to Indiana Jones, it's easier for them to do that than to build a fully fleshed out land with something like Zootopia. I would love to see Zootopia land, but I think it needs more space. I want the monorail because that's what I want. They use that, right? I want the monorail that brings you from land to land, and I don't think they can do that back there. But who knows what they have around it? Because acres and acres.
Maybe, possibly, fingers crossed, they had said when they put in the Skyliner that they eventually wanted to use that as to connect different areas and stuff like that. So, I mean, who's to say that that might be part of it? Because that monorail or the over the jungle part of Zootopia, they have that. It seems like it was like the Skyliner to me. So, I mean, you know, hey, Disney, there's an idea.
There you go. The first new Disney.
And I might get a lot of flack for this, but I think what would be an awesome spot to put Zootopia is over on Discovery Island. That's the one you take the train?
That could be that transition
you're getting on a monorail, the train to go over to Zootopia Land. And I love that area. Lincoln loves going over and seeing the goats and the animation thing.
And you could still keep some of that. You could still keep the hospital.
And I feel like they could put that either somewhere else if they wanted to. But I also don't feel like a lot of people go over there, which is one of the reasons I love it, because it is a spot where you can go. It's a little bit quieter. It's not, you know, there's nowhere near as many people as in the main part.
I just don't love that I can't take my stroller over there.
Yeah.
It's not Pandora. It's quiet. Right. Yeah.
I think that would be a perfect spot for something like Utopia, where they could build out, and it's like you're kind of separating from this realistic world of the rest of Animal Kingdom to this more fantastical world of Zootopia. Yep. I totally agree. Really cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that spot back there where the animal care station, I don't know if that would be big enough. Because you have to remember also in Animal Kingdom, you've got all of the pens and the animals and all of that back there. And can't fool with that. They can't put anything too close to it.
Right.
You know, there's a certain element of, I guess, for lack of better say, quietness. Mm. And I think their other thought on bringing in something like that is, you know, that's never going to be a park. Think about in the down season, you know, that park can close as early as 6 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and if you're going to invest, I mean, not to say that they didn't in Pandora. I mean, look at that, you know, I mean, what an investment in Pandora. Yeah. But, you know, I think if they're going to build a whole new land like that, they're going to have a tendency to put it in one of the other areas.
Right.
Rather than putting it there, you know, kind of like y'all, I wish there was, I do agree. Zootopia is a great thing for Animal Kingdom. It just fits right in. I mean, come on, it's animals.
Yeah.
but you know, this whole America's theme that they're coming out with, what's funny, you know, Encanto is one of those movies, like you say, you've never watched The Princess and the Frog. I don't think that I've ever sat there and watched Encanto in one long swoop. So it's kind of like having the whole land themed out. I was like, oh, I guess I have to go watch the movie now.
Well,
you know,
I wonder if that's why they're combining that area into three different properties. I'm assuming that they may be under the belief that these properties can't be the flagship of an entire land on their own. Right. They're saying Indiana Jones is great, but it can't be a whole land. Encanto is great, but it can't be a whole land. Coco is great, but it can't be a whole land. But if we put them together, because they do have this overarching tropical America string connecting them, then maybe the three of them can carry a whole land and draw people over to that part of the park, which would be great because it will, you mentioned Pandora, it's going to lessen the crowds in Pandora, which right now, honestly, is where everybody runs to, right? When you go into Animal Kingdom, that's the first place people are booking it to. But if all of a sudden you have another thing on the opposite side of the park, it's going to split your crowds as people walk in. That's probably why they're doing
it. I personally, as boy mom, like the selection and the combination, because while I do like the Zootopia ideas that we have been floating around, Indiana Jones, boy.
Lincoln loves Indiana.
You know, Encanto, while it is about mainly about Mirabelle, it does hit both with her the little cousin, right? Who gets to speak to animals. And then Coco, which, you know,
Miguel
and
Coco, we haven't really mentioned. And well, here's the other thing, too, about Encanto, because I believe at the last D23, part of that, which we're going to talk about later, the Beyond Thunder Mountain, was maybe we'll see Encanto over there. Maybe we'll see Coco over there. My hope is that they don't do that, where we're going to have Encanto over in
Tropical
Americas.
Yeah, don't split it.
This bigger thing Beyond Thunder Mountain that is Encanto.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they don't split it amongst parks, but we never know. We'll talk about Beyond Thunder Mountain in a little bit.
They do seem recently to like to pixie it through, dust it through in different parks. And you see Cinderella here and Cinderella there. And I liked the old Disney, how it was,
you had to go
to Magic Kingdom to see Cinderella. You couldn't see her at Epcot.
Well, we say that about a lot of even the stores.
We do.
I wish the stores went back to just selling at specific locations. But we're getting off topic a little bit there.
I don't think you're going to see if they're bringing Encanto into Animal Kingdom. I don't think you're going to see it brought into Magic Kingdom as well. I mean, that would defeat. I just don't see that happening. There's so much more to talk about that area. I mean, with so many great ideas. I think they've nailed committed to that central theming American Animal Kingdom. You're going to see those three things brought in. Yeah. You already know where they're going with the Indiana Jones ride. It's just retheming that whole area and creating this new area in Dino Land. And I'm excited about it. Change is always good. You got to leave the original, but you know, it's exciting. They're any business. They've got to compete with the others around it. And goodness knows, a couple weeks ago, I was at another park.
And
I'm going to tell you, they have an entirely new theme park opening next year.
Yeah.
And so, it's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah. Well,
I see what you did there.
They haven't given us much detail, like specific detail about this Tropical America Center. They haven't told us for sure that Dinosaur is going to be replaced or rethemed to Indiana Jones. It just makes sense, right? They haven't really told us what we're going to be experiencing with Encanto. There's this idea going around that Coco might be getting like a carousel themed Coco ride, which would be interesting to see how they do something like that. But as of right now, we just know it's coming. We don't know when. We don't know exactly what they're going to be doing. But it is exciting that that area, which I think has just for the past few years been going downhill, to be revitalized and become a major part of Animal Kingdom. So that's one of the things we're talking about today that I'm most excited for, especially Indiana Jones, because I love Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I just hope that means they don't take away the stunt spectacular, which they might in Hollywood Studios. But I love the show, too.
I definitely... I mean, there's areas there that in Animal Kingdom that were built. The ideas were great, like the rivers of, what was it? The nighttime show, the Rivers of Light. I mean, that's just like a big sit down and relax now place, you know, for thousands of people.
They need to do something there.
They need to do something there. You know, don't waste any space. But I, you know, maybe they could do something there. I don't know.
It would have been cool to put like a Moana feature there, like the Moana, the water
or
feature.
Raya.
So cool at Epcot. It is awesome. But it would have been awesome to put in that area.
Yeah.
At Animal Kingdom,
a
you know.
Moana themed show would be pretty cool with the whole water concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the topic of retheming some things, retheming Dinosaur to Indiana Jones, or just kind of changing the things work. Another, we're going to hop to another park and go over to Epcot, because they are starting to tease some of the info or share some of the information about a test track reimagining that is going to be happening relatively soon, because they announced that they're going to be closing Test Track June 17th of this year. So in just a short, you know, couple months, they're going to be closing it for this reimagining. And some of the concept art that we've seen, it really has only focused primarily on the exterior of the building. It looks pretty cool. You guys can go on and, you know, and take a look at that. But it's more like sleek and rounded. It's got like a, you know, they're removing the canopy structure. It's more open that way. They have like blues and purple lights illuminating the entrance. They have a new sign out front. They haven't shown much of, like I said, the interior of the ride. So I don't know, or they're just not sharing so much about what is going to actually take place inside. I know that they are trying to draw some inspiration from World of Motion, which was the attraction that was in that location before, you know, Test Track took over. So again, maybe that callback that a lot of us have been clamoring for, right? The old Disney, the things that they took away, giving nods to the things that once were, which I think a lot of us as longtime Disney fans appreciate. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they do, if it's going to be more than just the facade of the building being changed, and if that whole World of Motion influence is going to actually bleed into the ride itself, or if it's just more about the look.
Well, Test Track is without a doubt one of my favorite rides. The fact that you can go in and be creative and make your car, and then you get to race it. It's a little competition, you know, the need for speed outside.
It's the fastest ride on the park, right? It's faster than all the roller coasters, I think 65 miles per hour.
Yep. And
Sometimes, sometimes those roller coasters feel like they're moving a little faster than 65. Because like, we're from Jersey, so when we're driving on the parkway and you hit 85, you're like, oh, this isn't a roller coaster. But 65 is the fastest you go in Disney World.
Yep. But I mean, so I guess I'm going to just have to wait and see what they're going to do on the inside. Well,
it is still
Love that ride. So
it's still sponsored by Chevrolet, right? So Chevy is still the sponsor. So it's still going to have to be car based. It's not like they're going to completely change the ride. They're just reimagining it, updating it. I think it was like back in 2012 when they did their last, that retheme that we have of the new Test Track, right? From the old version of Test Track. And that was around the same time that Chevy's contract was kind of up and they had to renew it. And I believe their contract recently went up and they renewed it. And I'm wondering if that's part of it. Like, okay, we'll renew the contract. You're still a sponsor, but you got to pump some money into it to update it.
Right.
So I would be very excited to see what they do with that. Sue, do you like Test Track? Is that one of the rides that you go on, or do you skip that one?
Oh, definitely. No. I love Test Track. And like Joanna, I love the fact of, you know, it's always the competition with my boys of who can design the coolest looking car. You know, we don't go for optimum. We go for coolest looking. It doesn't matter if it has absolutely no effect. It's big wheels and big cars and everything else in between for three boys. But no, I love Test Track. Disappointed to see, but you know, you have to shut it to revamp it. But you know, this is a major overhaul.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty big. I was looking at the concept art, that's some of the stuff. I agree with you. I think it's going to still be that same element of Test Track. I just think there's so much newer technology out there.
Exactly.
That they really can make the ride better. There were some elements of this one that I was like, yeah, you know, that's not really that great. but I think, you know, like when you go through and they spray the little mist on you and you're driving... Okay, Get me outside and get me going in circles. But I think it's going to be great. I think it's needed with as much money as they've invested into Epcot. You know, you're going to have that, you know, you've got the new plaza that's open now. You've got the new Communicare Center that's getting ready to open.
Yeah.
You know, when we're kind of wrong, because if you remember right, they just also announced with respect to that, they're going to have like an Encanto stage show in Epcot.
Okay.
That's going to go on the stage outside of Communicore. So I think they're trying to get all that open before they shut yet another park. Right. Although, right. you know, at least that one's kind of to the side, not in the middle of the park.
Right. I'm excited. I want to see what they do with it. I mean, they have to upgrade it every once in a while. It's one of the, you know, Disney's list of thrill rides is definitely growing. But that was always one of the things when the debate comes up, do I go to Disney or do I go to the dark park? It comes down to the thrill rides, right? And the dark park for a long time had the edge when it came to thrill rides. Test Track is one of the thrill rides, not just in Epcot, but in all of Walt Disney World that people like. And, you know, the last time they redid this was in 2012. Like you said, the tech's different. They can maybe they'll let you go 75 miles per hour instead of 65 miles per hour on the next iteration. So who knows? I am excited. I know Lincoln is excited. He loves, like both of you mentioned, building the cars. Sue, he's the same way. He's like, let's put on a jetpack and monster wheel trucks because tires, because he just wants like it to look crazy. So we're excited for that. But they haven't said how long the closure is going to be. But based on the, you know, the concept art, like you said, Sue, it might be for a little bit that that ride is down.
Yeah, I think it's going to be down. I think it's going to be down for, you know.
Wow.
I mean, if they're doing it, I mean, I can't imagine them. Look at what they just did with Tiana's.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been down, what, a year? I mean, I think when you put a ride down like that, you're probably looking at, you know, closing it this summer and probably not going to see it open till next summer.
Right.
At a minimum.
And I'd rather things take a duration of time instead of them rushing it out and then it, you know, breaking down or not being done right. I want them to close it for a duration and do it correctly.
Right. And they give you plenty of warning, people planning, they know it's coming. Like it's, you're right. They need to take their time and make sure all those bugs are worked out. I don't want to get in there and be in B mode all the time. But we're talking
you
about
you and your B mode.
B mode, Sue. I don't like B mode.
He loves Star Wars so much that the fact that he can't experience the full experience at Rise of the Resistance.
I'm not even a huge fan of like Kylo Ren, of like the sequel movies. I don't mind them. If it was like an original trilogy, then I'd be all about, right? But I like the animatronic, right? That was one of the selling points of Rise of the Resistance, was this animatronic and how realistic it felt when he's using the force and moving you around. And then when you show up and that wall's down and you're like, oh man, he's just going to float in a spaceship
because
in front
of me.
Because
we've actually experienced it. I think for people who have not experienced that part,
still enjoy it.
You know, but when we show up and we see that wall, we turn to each other and we go, oh man.
It's B mode. But we've been a lot of therapy sessions today. So
we've been talking
about some of the, you know, the changes that are coming to some of the attractions in different parks. We've hit on Animal Kingdom. We've hit on Epcot now. Let's hop over to Hollywood Studios. Well, Ohana, that's it for today's episode and part one of our discussion on some of the recent announcements Disney has made. We want to thank our guests, Sue and Johanna, for joining us today and thank all of you for tuning in. Be sure to hit that follow button to catch part two of the episode next week and to stay up to date on all of our latest episodes as they come out. We also want to invite you to be part of the podcast to share your Disney story. Feel free to reach out to us either through our website, marriedtoadisneyaddict.com, or over on our social pages on Facebook and Instagram by searching at marriedtoadisneyaddict to become part of the Ohana. Thanks again for tuning in, and as always, see you real soon.